If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Say, I believe God for a miracle.
Jesus says, you will have what you say. How are you speaking? Child, if it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. How you doing, brother, sister? I'm hanging in there. Well, you know how it is. No, I don't. You got to have a friend in your life that can slap you right in the mouth. Johnny Fontaine sat with the Godfather and cried that he couldn't get that part from Waltz, Jack Waltz. Oh, Godfather, Godfather, I don't know what to do. In the movie, he jumps up and slaps him. You can act like a man. But in the book, he said something afterward. He said, how could you have spent so much time in my presence and act like a sniveling woman? They should have put that in the movie. How can you sit in here and give God praise, speak in other tongues, run up and down the aisles, roll on the floor, need two ushers to hold you, and when you step outside and the devil comes against you, you wilt like a flower in June? You ought to have so much power on the inside that the devil can't move you, that the demons can't chase you, and saints can't break you down. Whatever comes against me, whatever condition that comes against me, I'm going to give God praise. If Paul and Silas can praise him in prison, I can praise him in sickness. I can praise him in difficulty. I can open my mouth and give God a level of praise that the devil can't take away. So we get through Exodus. We get through Leviticus. We get through Numbers. And we come to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the law restored. All that you've learned in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers is coming back to you now in Deuteronomy. There's a rehearsal of the law. In Deuteronomy, God is preparing them to go in. So there's a passage in Deuteronomy where he says, when you get into the new land, you're not supposed to cut yourself. Why? Because it was a satanic action that we're seeing revived today. It's a cultural acceptance. He told them in that same book, you're not supposed to have tattoos. And we run out as Christians and get tattoos. And you think that they're putting on I Love Mama and they're putting on satanic incantations. And that's why you can't sleep at night and devils are walking up and down the steps of your house because they have legal right because your tattoo worships the devil. So God said, don't have no tattoos. God said, don't eat shellfish. It'll raise your cholesterol. God has never changed his mind except one thing, bacon. But why did he do that? Because he knew that he's the God, he's Jehovah Rapha. The perversion of that is I'm the God that healeth you. But the actual Hebrew is I'm the God that keeps you from getting sick by telling you what to eat and what not to eat so you won't get sick. Over 70% of your diseases come from your diet. Now I know you're gonna go home today and have 47 wings. And the Bible says you're supposed to have the ability to control yourself. Just have three and have a nice salad. Why? Because God says when you get over into that land, the distinguishing characteristic is that you know how to eat. And you know how to worship your God. And you know how to have one wife and one husband at a time. All the rest of them are going to have two and three, which suggests that they're schizophrenic. They have a spouse for each character that lives in them because they suffer from multi-personality disorder. That's why if you have somebody else, you're different with the other person because you're multi-personality. When you have somebody else, you can't treat them the same way you do the spouse. You have to be different because if you're going to be the same way, then you don't need them. And that's why your other one has to be different than the one you have because if they're the same, then you don't need them. So God says, look, this is what's going to make you weird. You're only going to have one, and that makes you weird. And you're not going to have the debt that they have. You're not going to co-sign. You're not going to spend what you don't have. I'm going to give you houses. I'm going to give you olive trees. I'm going to give you lakes that you didn't dig. I'm going to bless your, look, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do for you. In Deuteronomy 28, I'm going to bless your going out and your coming in. I'm going to bless the fruit of your body, the works of your hands. I'm going to bless your barns and your storehouses. I'm going to bless every area of your life. And all you have to do is obey my word. That's all you have to do. Now look at what God is saying. If you're in financial difficulty, it's not because of the devil. You haven't obeyed God. He promised you that he would supply everything you need if you just obey him or obey the person he sends to you with instruction. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm trying to teach you. You've been in this broke position long enough. Tell your neighbor, you've been broke long enough. Now you tell them back. You talk to them and say, now tell them to give you $10. They just told you you've been broke long enough. Tell them to put their money where their mouth is. Give me $10. Tell them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul is the great apostle who teaches how to live as a Christian. And he talks about how we should live in the financial arena. People always argue and say, Paul never taught on tithing. He don't have to. If my godson and my daughter come to my home, I don't have to tell them not to play with matches. I already told them. In other words, we grow up. How many times are you going to ask God why before you find out he's not obligated to answer you? I just stopped asking. I'm like Ezekiel, you know. I'm tired of questioning him. I'm not questioning him anymore. Just do what you want. Just help me through it. That's all. Amen. You'll live longer. So when he gets to the 9th chapter of 2 Corinthians, he's teaching about giving. Why? Because the church, the books of Corinthians are the best books for us in the church today. It addresses all the issues. And so he says, he starts teaching about giving. And then when he gets to verse 6, he says, but this I say, he which sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. Now, Paul gets his instruction from the Old Testament. If you remember in the book of Romans, he said, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him to drink. For in doing so, you heap coals of fire upon his head. He got that from Proverbs. Most of Paul's instruction, outside of new stuff, he got from Proverbs. He got from the Old Testament. The just shall live by faith that he recites over in Galatians and Romans. He got from Habakkuk. He's not coming up with this stuff of his own volition. He expands on it, but he uses the word of God. Jesus used the word of God. Apparently, the principles for life are in the word of God. Now, listen to what he says. He that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully. Listen to this. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart or in his mind, so let him give. In other words, since the law is quoted to us in verse 6, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. That's the law. You plant one seed, you're just getting one crop. You plant 30 seeds, you're getting 30. So it's a simple law. It goes along with Luke, all right? The laws of reciprocity. You give out, you get back what you give out. So he says, but you must purpose in your heart how you want to receive. He said, everybody according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. So you give to God based on how you want to receive and then give it cheerfully. And so certain preachers, charlatans, come in and operate under that. All right, now, if you want God to open up the windows of heaven, come on and bring him $100. Well, the Bible says, as I purpose in my heart. And the purposing has to do with what I want him to do. And you can't force me to do it. You can ask, but don't force me. The spirit of poverty is broken in your lifestyle. It means that you begin to take the steps to bring your expenses under control. Children of Israel went into a new land just like us. We did as a figure. When we were saved, we went from one kingdom to the next. And God has to teach us how to live like children of God. Paul writes to the church at Philippi, and he says that your citizenship, the King James says your conversation, the word is citizenship. Your citizenship is in heaven. You are citizens of heaven. You are not bound by the laws and the principles of this world. You are bound by the laws of God. The world tells you that they're going to take your health care away, but they can't take Isaiah 53 away. Your employer will say, we're going to lay you off. Then Philippians 4:19 comes to light. My God shall supply all my need. If you actually think that your employer is what's taking care of you, think again. All things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. When you get saved, you have to be taught how to live the kingdom life in this world. You can't do ministry for God when you are burdened with earthly cares. You have to work 2-3 jobs to make ends meet. How are you going to work for the Lord? We just dance in and out of divorce as easily as possible because we can. And granted, it's not the unpardonable sin. God's not going to send you to hell for it. But there sure are consequences. The question that we must ask ourselves is not whether or not we should commit sin. The question is, are we willing to take the consequences? And if you're not, then you don't do it. And if you think you are, then you shouldn't do it anyway because you don't know what the consequences are. Your negative action may bring judgment on an innocent person. Moses' wife said, "Don't you circumcise our second son." God did not chastise the wife. He put his hand on Moses, and he was killing him. After just telling him to go to Egypt, he had just commissioned him to be the first apostolic prophet, and he did not obey God, and God was killing him. His wife saw what was happening. She took a sharp stone, cut off the second boy's foreskin, threw it at Moses' feet, called him a bloody husband. Then the hand of the Lord came off of Moses. You will not violate the word of God. His word, he said, is higher than his name. And he said his name was hallowed. His word is higher than his name. And his name is hallowed. So you will not violate his word. Did you ever stop and go to your father and say, Lord, I have a need. I need $1,000 to pay this bill. And I'm coming to you. And let him give it to you. He might need to send Elijah to you, who may say to you, do so and so, and then do it. You've been here long enough. You've been broke long enough. You've been in poverty long enough. Why? Nobody teaches us. We entered into this land of the Hittites, Amalekites, and Jebusites, and we've come into their land, and nobody's taught us how to live. We shouted and danced and praised the Lord, but we don't know how to live. We don't know how to invest. Mark Gallier teaches investment classes here at our church because I believe Jesus said that we should live life and live it in abundance. You've been here long enough.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
2118A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen. That he has in store.